to protect. Brought to you by Midlands 103, the IBI, and funded by Commission the Man with a television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
On this week's Ours to Protect, we focus on Cloncrow Bog in Tyrrell's Pass in County Westmeath. The bog has been growing since the end of the last ice age and retains its unique biodiversity. Ethos, Everything Tyrrell's Pass has on show, aims to raise awareness of the vital role of peatlands in mitigating carbon emissions and preserving biodiversity. Eugene Dunbar is a retired history and geography teacher and a member of the group, and he has brought many students to visit the bog over the years.
Well, Cloncrow Bog, it's an intact raised bog. And the unique aspect of it is that it's within walking distance of the village of Tyrrell's Pass. So it's always been my dream to sort of connect the bog with the village and to develop a walk that would bring people across the bog and then back through the village, exploring and highlighting the many, you know, historic and wonders both of the bog and of the villages and of the village itself. I've always been intrigued with the bogs, going back to the 1980s, and I used to bring out school children or secondary school students out to the bog to do peat transects and to look at the flora and the fauna. And back in the 80s and the 90s, it was all about flora and fauna. It was the surface of the bog. But in more recent years, the ecologists have discovered that the bogs are actually a very rich and very natural store of carbon. And on Cloncrow, for example, we have measured 10 metres of peat, like below the surface. And a metre of peat holds a vast amount of carbon. And a metre of peat takes 1,000 years to grow. So 10 metres of peat, that bog has been growing in situ, if you like, for 10,000 years, basically since the end of the last ice age. So it's just a fascinating place. And also, if you look at the peat and if you can extract the pollen from the peat, and the pollen is preserved in the peat, so that gives you a record. So it's like standing on the surface of a history book, really. And if you went down 1 metre in the bog and extracted the pollen, no, you can't do this, the scientists and the ecologists would have to do it, they could tell you precisely what the vegetation in the local area was 1,000 years ago. Go down 2 metres, you're back 2,000 years, you're back to the birth of Christ, basically. Mm. You can go back down to Neolithic times, to Iron Age times, Bronze Age times, the Neolithic, the Mesolithic, when the first farmers came. You'd find the evidence there of how the vegetation changed when people moved into the area and began to develop agriculture. You'll see more grass pollen rather than oak and woodland pollen.
Turf cutting ended on Cloncrow Bog about 20 years ago.
The turf seemingly on Cloncrow wasn't great for burning in a fire because it was extremely wet, and people get their turf from other bogs, from Tor Bog and other bogs in the locality. So Tyrrell's Pass is one of the few intact raised bogs that are left in the Midlands, really. Do you know? So that's why it's so important there. So what we were trying to do, basically, I always had this dream of linking the bog with the village. And I always had this notion of, you know, developing a boardwalk on the bog, which we have now done. And it only opened there last March. And it's been an ongoing work. I suppose it's taken us a couple of years. As I say, it went back to BC, which is before COVID, like, and now we're in AC now after COVID. So we've successfully built a beautiful boardwalk, which brings people across the bog or around the perimeter of the bog into a natural woodland area, back out onto the bog again, and then back around the village. And around the village, we're developing QR codes, where we'll have these QR codes to highlight, you know, Belvedere Orphanage, St. Sinian's Church, the castle, and the various architecture, you know, in the village and the history of the village.
The group has been conducting surveys to assess the wildlife on the bog. particularly focusing on butterfly, moth and bird species.
I monitor butterflies and moths. That's my kind of thing. And I've been doing that for years. And people will say to you, there's no butterflies anymore. There are very few butterflies. I don't see them. But if you get the habitat right, and if the habitat is correct, the butterflies are there. And it's the destruction of habitat that is the main cause for the loss of, you know, all our wildlife, basically. But on the bog and in the areas just around the bog, the habitat is very, very rich. And you're going to find some amazing butterflies. The Marsh Fritillary is there, and that's a protected butterfly by European law, you know. And also you've got the large heaths, and you've got, you know, the wood white, and you've got, I've photographed over 23 different species of butterfly there. But the thing that people don't understand is that a butterfly is an insect that is flying around, but butterflies are also tied and linked to a plant species. Because, for example, the Marsh Fritillary will only lay its egg on one particular plant. So if that devil's bit scabious, it's called, and if that plant is absent, then there's no Marsh Fritillary, do you know? And it's the same with other butterflies. They're linked to a plant. Like people think, you know, they put buddleias in their garden and the butterflies come in. But basically, when they come into your garden, they are nectaring. They are just feeding. They're taking the nectar from the plants. But I often say it's kind of like your garden. If you have loads of flowers, and especially if they're not native flowers, it's like a restaurant. They come in there to eat. But you also have to have a kind of a birthing place, if you like, you know, where they'll actually lay their eggs, and where the eggs will turn into caterpillars, and the caterpillars will pupate, and then the whole cycle continues. So that's the key, you know, that and then of course the caterpillars from the butterflies are a major source of food for the birds, especially all the small birds, the blue tits and that. And, you know, the caterpillars will emerge in the spring, and that's the time when our birds are feeding their young. And if you ever observe a nest, you know, in your garden or whatever, you'll see that the birds are bringing in enormous amount of caterpillars to feed their chicks. So there's the link. Like, you know, you start with a plant, a single plant, and then this brings in, you know, the butterfly lays the eggs there, and then a butterfly can lay up to a couple of hundred eggs, and it only needs, you know, one or two to turn into caterpillars and to pupate and to do the whole cycle, and the rest are food for the birds. And if you upset that balance, then, you know, you're God only knows what's going to happen. They're all interdependent. You know, they all depend on each other. And like, as we destroy habitats, you know, we don't do it willingly and we don't do it consciously even. But, you know, our farming methods now, we clear hedgerows and we do all this kind of a thing. And suddenly people are noticing there aren't as many birds around. There aren't as many butterflies around. And that's because the habitat has changed, you know. So looking at butterflies and moths, And I would send my reports up to Biodiversity Ireland, you know, where they monitor it. And if there's a decline in a species of butterfly, and if there's a decline in a species of moth, that's an indicator. It's like a barometer of the state of the environment, which, you know, can and obviously the consequences of global warming, you know, links in there as well.
To find out more information on Cloncroe Bog, see ours2protect.ie, or find a fact sheet on midlands103.com.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Midlands 103, the IBI, and funded by Commission the Man with a television licence fee. Check out ours2protect.ie for more information.